The Hayden Charade, by Marjorie Cohn, TRUTHOUT Perspective, Monday 22 May 2006. In his testimony before the Senate Intelligence Committee on Thursday, General Michael Hayden promised to promote autonomy and objectivity in SIA, if confirmed as its new director. Hayden assured the Senate us he would provide hard-edged assessments and be tolerant of dissenting views on intelligence matters. When it comes to speaking truth to power, Hayden declared, I will lead SIA analysts by example. I will always give our nation's leaders the best analytic judgment. The evidence, however, suggests precisely the opposite. As head of the National Security Agency, this four-star general walked in lockstep with his commander-in-chief, George W. Bush. Hayden helped design the illegal program of spying on our telephone calls and emails, and then repeatedly defended it when interrogated by the senators at his hearing, citing legal opinions of Bush's hired guns in the Justice Department. Rather than providing the White House with a neutral assessment of Iran's nuclear capabilities, we can expect Hayden to give Bush the intelligence the president seeks to justify his war on Iran. Things did not run as smoothly as Bush would have wished under the last two SIA directors. He had to dispatch Dick Cheney to the SIA several times to furnish the intelligence he needed to rationalize his war on Iraq. Senator Carl Levin D. Michigan asked Hayden if he was comfortable with Undersecretary of Defense for Policy Douglas Feith's personal intelligence analysis cell, which hyped a link between Iraq and Al-Qaeda. Hayden said he wasn't comfortable with it, and protested that he wasn't aware of a lot of the activity going on leading up to the Iraq War. But when questioned about Colin Powell's use of false WMD information to support his infamous appearance before the United Nations in the run-up to the war, Hayden made a telling admission. In response to Levin's question about the legal standard for declassifying information in the public interest, Hayden said, "We used that in Powell's speech. George Tenet had to call me for 3 tapes. Hayden was right in the middle of the preparation for Powell's disingenuous presentation. Hayden, who will be the third director of the SIA in 2 years, will salute and march to Bush's agenda. The nation's chief spook will shape the intelligence to fit Bush's policy of regime change in Iran." Hayden vowed to reaffirm SIA's proud culture of risk-taking and excellence. Not one of the senators from either party interrogated Hayden about the SIA's checkered past. There was no mention of the SIA's 1953 coup that ousted Iran's democratically elected president Mohammad Mossadegh and replaced him with the US-friendly tyrant, Bashar Issa Pahlavi. The 1979 Iranian Revolution led to the overthrow of the Shah's regime and the rise of Islamic fascism under the leadership of the Ayatollah Khomeini, providing a model of theocracy for much of the Muslim world. Absent was any reference in the hearing to the SIA's support for Osama bin Laden in his fight against the Soviet Union in Afghanistan. The defeat of the US there, and the rise of the Mujahideen, enabled the Taliban to come to power. Then, bin Laden used his SIA training to orchestrate the 9/11 attacks. Today we are reaping what the SIA sowed in Iran and Afghanistan. None of the senators asked Hayden about the SIA's torture manuals, which have been utilized by myriad Latin American dictators to repress their people. Much of the SIA's risk-taking is nothing to be proud of. There is no indication that Hayden will bring new integrity to the SIA. Hayden's defense of the NSAR's warrantless surveillance program was incredible. When questioned about the Fourth Amendment standard for searches and seizures, Hayden assured the senators that he had consulted with his relatives who are in law school for legal advice. The Fourth Amendment says the people shall be secure from unreasonable searches and seizures, and that no warrant shall issue, but upon probable cause. For more than a century, the Supreme Court has held that, in order to be reasonable, a search or seizure must be supported by a search warrant based on probable cause and issued by a judge. Only when certain narrowly defined exceptions apply, can the government dispense with a warrant. Hayden and his law student relatives have reversed that presumption. He told the senators that only reasonableness, not a warrant, is necessary to intercept our private communications. Hayden said NSA uses a probable cause standard. But the Supreme Court has consistently declared that a judge must determine whether probable cause exists. When confronted with USA Today's report that NSA is collecting data on tens of millions of Americans, monitoring the calls we make and receive, Hayden refused to confirm or deny it. Two of the long-distance companies named in that article, Verizon Communications and Bell South, both facing lawsuits for invasion of privacy, have denied giving the government these records. AT&T has refused comment. Interestingly, Bush issued an executive order on May 5 that allows Director of Intelligence John Negroponte, Michael Hayden's boss, to authorize a company to conceal activities related to national security. Thus, we cannot trust the denials by Verizon and Bell South. Like Bush's warrantless eavesdropping on calls, when parties abroad, then NSA's massive data collection is illegal. Both of these programs violate the Foreign Intelligence Surveillance Act, FISA, which clearly requires a warrant issued by a FISA court judge. It is illegal for NSA to collect phone numbers from phone companies, unless the FISA court authorizes it. Telephone records that show what numbers have called a specific telephone are captured by a trap-and-trace device. A pen register shows what number a specific telephone has called. The law on pen registers and trap-and-trace devices requires that a court order be obtained either under FISA or Title III, the criminal wiretap law. In order to intercept communications, then NSA would have to demonstrate to the court that the person whose calls are being targeted is an agent of a foreign power, or that the information is relevant to an ongoing terrorism investigation. The Patriot Act allows the FBI to use a national security letter, a kind of administrative subpoena, to obtain these records. But Congress specifically withheld this subpoena power from NSA, which must convince the FISA court that the information is relevant. There is no evidence that NSA has obtained court orders before obtaining the phone records of millions of Americans. There is evidence, however, that the FBI is using national security letters to go after journalists critical of the administration. Brian Russ from ABC News told Amy Goodman on Democracy Now that the government's methods are changing the way he operates. It makes his work very, very difficult, he said. And, you know, you sort of have to start thinking, I guess, like some sort of mafia capo, Ross noted. You make your phone calls with bags of quarters at payphones, if you can find them anymore. It's chilling to say the least. So much for a free press. Last year, the FBI issued a total of 9,254 national security letters, targeting 3,500 citizens and legal residents. In October 2002, while serving as NSA director, Hayden misled Congress about the extent of the NSA's warrantless domestic surveillance. Senator Ron Wyden D. Oregon told Hayden at the hearing, I now have a difficult time with your credibility. Earlier this year, Hayden made more misleading statements in an appearance before the National Press Club. He said, the intrusion into privacy is also limited only into national calls. In fact, NSA is collecting data on millions of purely domestic calls. Hayden ducked several questions, deferring his answers to the closed session that followed the public hearing on Thursday. Senators who hear his secret testimony are forbidden to publicize it. Hayden refused to publicly answer seven questions posed by Senator Dianne Feinstein D. California about whether NSA has sought FISA warrants for pen register and trap-and-trace devices, whether terror suspects in secret CIA prisons are likely to remain incommunicado until the war on terror ends, whether there is periodic review of what useful intelligence can be gathered by interrogations of terrorists held fears with no contact with al-Qaeda, whether waterboarding, recently classified as torture by the UN, is acceptable, whether the CIA will obey laws and treaties in light of the Detainee Treatment Act, whether Hayden agreed with the Sire Inspector General's conclusion that certain interrogation techniques constitute cruel, inhuman or degrading treatment prohibited by the Convention Against Torture, whether Hayden agreed with estimates that Iran is some years away from nuclear weapons capability, and whether the Sire has received new guidance from the Justice Department about acceptable interrogation techniques since the passage of the Detainee Treatment Act. Although Hayden pledged objectivity in his opening statement, he let slip his real intention under questioning by Levin. Hayden said the war on terror is fundamentally a war of ideas, and we have to skew our intelligence to support the other elements of national power as well. Hayden admitted he will skew the intelligence to fit Bush's agenda. During the hearing, Wyden nailed it. He asked Hayden, "Where is the independent check, General, the independent check that can be verified on these programs that the newspapers are reporting on?" James Madison wrote in 1822, "A popular government without popular information, or the means of acquiring it, is but a prologue to a farce or a tragedy, or perhaps both. Knowledge will forever govern ignorance, and a people who mean to be their own governors must arm themselves with the power which knowledge gives. General Michael Hayden as Sire Director will see to it that we continue to be kept in the dark about how our liberties are swiftly vanishing. The future of our democracy is at stake." Marjorie Kuhn is a professor at Thomas Jefferson School of Law, president-elect of the National Lawyers Guild, and the U.S. representative to the Executive Committee of the American Association of Jurists. She writes a weekly column for TRUTHOUT,